Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. As we come today just to learn a little bit more and to gather together, all sisters and brothers together, I just say welcome, welcome, welcome. You are now joining the broadcast of Tri-Anointed Ministries, and we're located here in San Antonio, Texas. I am your host, Minister Von Dillmas, and I welcome each and one of you to sit back, relax, get your sword, which is the Spirit of God's Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Get your pen and your paper and open your hearts, okay? Open your hearts and be ready to receive whatever it is that you've been praying for tonight. Whatever it is that you've been talking to your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your spouse about, all of your coworkers, I ask you to now bring that one thing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bring it to the Lord. Let's give it over to Him, and we're going to leave it there. And then we're going to watch the Holy Spirit dwell, take your invitation to dwell inside of you and make a difference in your life, make a change in those things that you've been complaining about, to really have something done about it. Because that family member, that friend, that coworker that you've been talking to, as much as they may or may not love you or may want to or may not desire to bring any kind of resolution to your problem, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can do that. So if some things is just beyond their reach, beyond their control, and where they just cannot help you in these areas. So that's why you find yourself every day talking about the same conversation, speaking on that same subject, that negative thing that now has dwelled itself down off in your spirit, and when you can't even see the sun shining anymore because all you see is that issue that you've just been speaking about. And it's so wrapped up around your heart that every time you open your mouth, all you say is what's in your heart. So out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we want to put abundance off in your heart. Hallelujah. We want to put praise off in your heart. We want to give you something to praise Him about. I want to give you a resolution to that situation that you've been going through. That's why we're meeting here today. We want to make a dent in that situation that you're doing. I want to knock that mountain down that you think is so hard to climb. I want to get you through that weight of water that you feel like that you're drowning through. I want you to know that God's word is true today like it was yesterday, like it is tomorrow, and it's present right now. It's a present that is given to you. Come on, my friends, will you unwrap it today? Let's get thee involved in the word. Invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and live inside of us. Open our hearts, open our minds, that we may receive all that you have for us, dear Father. Open our blinded eyes and move all the callous from around our hearts, dear Father. All of the things that's been getting us all mixed up and thrown out of shape, dear Father. We erect ourselves before you and we say, enter into our kingdom, into our vessels. Be what you want us to be. Say what you want us to hear. Show our eyes what we need to be seeing. Open our ears, dear Father, when we may hear from you, and we will follow you all the days of our lives. Oh, dear Father, may I decrease right now. Come and speak to me, dear Father. Speak to this ministry. Speak, dear Father, to that mother who is praying right now. Speak to that family, dear Father, that is on the brink of breaking up, dear Father. Speak to that job employer who is doing wrong by the people that is working for him. Speak, dear Father, speak, dear Father, speak. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, oh, we welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Father. We welcome you right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen. Our scripture tonight is coming from the New Testament in the book of Matthew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The New Testament in the book of Matthew. Come on, guys, get on the train. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Amen, on fire for the Lord. And it said in Matthew 10, starting at verse 1, it said, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits, oh, and to heal every disease and to heal every sickness. Did you hear what the word of the Lord said? It said, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, there was Simon, who was also known as Peter.
And his brother Andrew, we have James of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James and Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, these 12 disciples sent out with the following instructions. Those instructions were, do not go amongst the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you will have received. Freely you give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Verse 11 says, wherever or whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. And as you enter the home, give it your greetings. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone is not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that house or town. And I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Solomon and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for those at that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd snakes, as an innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogue. Hallelujah. And may your account, by my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But it says in verse 19, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what will be given or what would you be given to you to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you are brought before the kings and the councils and all of the witnesses, it says, do not worry about what you may say. For at that time you will be given what to say. See, it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That word is for you today. It will not be you speaking as you're going and you've been living right. You know you've been doing what's right. You've been crying because you've been fighting to do what's wrong. But the spirit in you has grown to a point that you just had to deny the flesh and do what was right. And now you may be brought before your superiors, before your parents, or before your spouse, whoever it may be. You go with pride. Raise your head up. Go with faith, knowing that you've done right. And don't worry about what you're going to say. But there's some iffy things in the situation that they're going to catch me. And don't worry about what you're going to say. Because the words will be given unto you. It's not going to be you speaking. If you allow him to just use you, hallelujah. He said it will not be you speaking, but those, it is he. I will speak my words through you. Amen. Run on a little farther. Speak on a little louder. Don't worry about what's been said about you. You just keep on moving on. You keep on doing what's right. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. We're sending our prayers today to everyone on Team Vaughn at the Xerox team. Everyone on Team Vaughn, you are in my prayer tonight. Amen, amen, amen. May you be at your best and your children and your spouses be at their best. May you all receive something today, right now, that you've been searching for, been looking for. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we seal that agreement by saying amen all over the world. Amen, amen. We're talking about the agents of the gospel today. You know, are you an agent of the gospel? We're going to stop back and just look at the disciples who were agents of the gospel, and maybe you'll be able to answer that question by the end of the broadcast. As for who are you in the Lord? Are you an agent of the gospel? Now, we are all agents of some things. We just have to stop and do a self-examination of yourself and see, Who are you representing? What are you representing? Evil or the goodness of the Lord? You know, it was a saying that it was a man who was speaking to his son, and he told him, he said, you know, just trying to survive in this world and just live daily. He said, it's almost like having two huge dogs on each shoulder. And both of them have something that they're just pulling you back and forth. And you have the reins of both of them. And it's just up to you. One dog is just wanting to just do evil to everything in its sight and just pulling. And you're holding the reins. And the other dog is just pulling you. And it's trying to correct all the wrongness in the world. It's trying to put peace on top of all of that turmoil that's going on. It's trying to spread joy instead of all the hatred and the evilness that's going on. And the son looked at the father and said, Daddy, how do you know? So which one is inside of your spirit are you going to be like? He said, it's the one that I pay the most attention to. Today you may see me, and it may be if I pay more attention to this evilness, that's what you're going to see coming out of me. I'm going to just be evil. It's going to spill out of me. It's whatever I pay the most attention to. It's whichever that I just let go of and decide I'm going to let it have its way. That's the person you're going to see before me today. And I know that we work with people. And I know that there's someone sitting right there on your church pew right now. I know that there's someone that you know that's in your family right now. And you feel like that they're double-minded. You feel like one day they're this way and the next day they're another way. And you can't figure out exactly what's going on. Doctors try to put titles on it. The school system try to label in your folders as something or this or that. And you can't figure out which one it is. Today, they're all powerful, and they're opening up, and they're receptive to joy, and they want to spread a little smile. And tomorrow, they're just biting you, and they're snatching at you. How can I get out of the pathway? Why did I volunteer to come and be a part of this? And sometimes, they have no idea what's going on. Which side, which man are they going to be today? Who are you going to see today? Hallelujah, the song says, what? Smile in your face all the time. Trying to take your place, they're backstabbing. I come to tell you that sometimes they're backstabbing themselves. A person like that really needs your help. They need your prayers because they know not which way that they're going. And sometimes they don't understand that it's because they're giving too much attention to the evil side. It's because they're giving too much attention to that weak side. So that's why they're displaying this personality. They have let go of the reins. They got to hold on to it. So I'm tired of fighting to do good. Don't give up now. You got to hold on to that thing. And I tell you, the more that you hold those reins, it'll begin to choke it out. It'll begin to choke it out. That big bad wolf is not as bad as it thought it was once it's been choked. So how do I choke it out? We have to stay in prayer. God, I know this is a trying to attack me. I'm identifying that, so I'm giving that over to you also. I don't have the strength to keep holding on to it, but I know that you do. Strengthen me, Jesus, where I'm weak. I know that whatever it may be, you keep on. You may have titles listed over you, schizophrenic, bipolar, whatever it is. Keep on repeating the words. Move those out of the way. I'm not saying totally ignore them, but move those out of the way. And say, God, I am a child of God. God, I am a follower of you. God, I am an agent of the gospel. And God, you said that I shall not be afraid when I come before all of these big titles. I don't know how to say this to you. I don't know what you want me to say, God, but I'm going to allow you. I invite you to come and speak inside of me. Speak to that schizophrenia. Speak to that demonic alcoholism. Speak to what's inside of me that is living in that it should not be, that doesn't represent you. God, I invite you to come and speak to those issues. Amen? That lying spirit, speak to that lying spirit. Pull it up out of me however you need to. Amen? The thing that makes me want to just get stuck in pornography, Jesus, I invite you to come and speak to that spirit. Hallelujah. It must bow down. Speak to that sickness, that illness. this psoriasis that's just itching and just tearing my skin outside and inside. I invite you to come and speak to that psoriasis. Make it bow down to you, Jesus. Make it bow down to you, Jesus. You know, sisters and brothers, we have so much authority that we never use. We have so much authority in this spirit that we have right now. This shell, we have so much authority over so many issues that we take not the time to speak and stand in that authority. That authority is given to us through Jesus Christ and from him through his Father. I invite you to stand up and start taking a charge of what you have authority over. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You know, through the early church, although it was filled with thousands of zealous followers of Christ, you know, only a dozen was known as the original band of 12. And I remember then, hear me, that there were thousands of zealous followers of Jesus Christ. Because I've heard someone mention that, you know, it was really only the 12 disciples that was really following Jesus. So that just lets me know that someone is not knowledgeable about the word of God. And you say, well, you may be more knowledgeable than I. Could be. Why is that, though? You have the same opportunity that I have. You have the same opportunity that any living, breathing person has. You have that same opportunity to read the word of God. If you are in need of a Bible, to read the word of God, please reach out to me. walkwithmegod@aol.com. Almost everyone has an email address. You can even get a free email if you don't. Go to the library, jump on the computer, sign you up for a free email address. walkwithmegod@aol.com. Now, that's if you are really, truly wanting a Bible and you don't have one. Yours is wore out. That means that you've used it a lot. Awesome. We should be wearing them out. Amen. walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, my name is Minister Vaughn Dumas. Amen. So there were thousands of zealous followers of Christ, but only a dozen was the original band of 12. So Jesus chose these men after spending the night in prayer. He designated them disciples. Disciples, let's just go back and make sure that we understand the word disciples. It actually is just a learner. It means someone who is learning, willing to learn. That's, you know, not willing to walk in the church and try to be right up in the pulpit with the pastor, but willing to cut the grass outside. Willing to learn the order of the church. Willing to learn that everything is in a divine order and the purpose of that divine order through Jesus Christ. Willing to follow the pastor, the leader, not talk about him when you're hearing everybody else scrutinizing his name, but to stand beside him and be his strong holding post. Hold him up, lift him up. A learner, a disciple. So he designated the 12 as disciples. And then later, he designated those disciples as apostles. Now, apostle actually just means missionary. They're going to be sent out now as missionaries. Very important to understand that in the Word of God, as disciples, you'll notice that the 12, they followed him. As disciples, you'll notice that they constantly sat at his feet. As disciples, they learned of his person. They learned of his work as disciples. Now, once he started later on, he designated them as apostles. As apostles, they were sent out in his power as agents of the gospel. As apostles, they were sent out and was going to the ends of the earth to profess the risen king. Now, that wasn't an easy life. You know, in the book of Acts, they were threatened, they were flogged, they were persecuted. And they were even driven from Jerusalem. They divided the world amongst themselves, and they fanned it out, and they was taking the gospel from the east to the west, to the north, to the south. They went willingly as apostles. They were willing to suffer and to die for their faith as apostles? Are you willing to be a disciple? Are you willing to learn? And then are you willing to, after all of your learning, not at your time, but in divine order, in the timing, are you willing to become an apostle? Are you willing to be sent out? Are you willing to be flogged? Let's say it like that. Are you willing to be persecuted, driven out of places? Are you really willing? Are you willing to be an agent of the gospel? It may come times, there's going to come times that you're going to have to suffer for what you believe. You may even have to die for your faith, but are you willing? There are four lists of the 12 given in the Bible. One each in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. Now, in all four lists, Peter is mentioned first. And Judas Iscariot is mentioned last. In all four lists of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. Peter is first, Judas is last. Now, between the two, between Peter and Judas, we have some variations in the order and even in the names. You know, a handful of stories about Peter, James, and John are recorded in the book of Acts, along with Paul, who wasn't the original 12, but despite being called the Acts of the Apostles, the book bypasses the record of most of the others. So the writer, which is Luke, kept to his agenda of explaining how the gospel traveled from Jerusalem to Rome, now, which was the geopolitical center of the world, from Jerusalem to Rome. And the stories of the other apostles have come down mainly from the church fathers or from earlier historians like Ephesus of Caesarea. Some of the apostles left with us better sets of traditions than others, but none of them except Judas, who was later replaced by Matthias in Acts 1:23. So none of them ever denied their faith, again, except Judas, who was later replaced. Different story. Please read. Never denied their faith. You know, sometimes we get in little bitty situations. It's nothing really big, but we will deny our faith and jump on the bandwagon with the world in a minute, won't we? And what the word of the Lord said. And we'll jump on there and say it too, you know. Well, that was back then. Times have changed. We've got to change too. I heard somebody say, well, just like when we was young and we thought the old people was wrong because they was old-fashioned and didn't understand things, we have to understand that that's the same here now. We're just those old people. And now we have to let the young people, if they want to carry on homosexual relationships, if they want to, pornography amongst them, let it be. Open marriages amongst them, let it be. Teaching our young kids at early ages that this is a proper way to do things, let it be. Just let it be. That's their business. They can do what they want to do. Are you standing by your faith? Are you standing by your faith? But none of the apostles ever denied their faith. They never questioned the resurrection of Christ or backtraced on their commitment to their global evangelism. They were agents of the gospel, professing a risen king. They were spreading a message to change the world forever. You know, descendants. We are their descendants. And we should, you know, emulate their examples of missionary and of evangelistic zeal. We should be emulating those. Who are you helping today? Who were their 12 agents? Who were they? You know, we want to learn a little bit more about these people because, again, we are their descendants, all of us. We want to know about them and exactly what happened to them. It's very important to know. So I say, as we get started on this journey, no better one to start with, and we're going to keep them short for the sake of time. Let's start with Peter. Let's start with Peter. You know, visitors to the ruins of the Galatians towns of Capernaum, they see the foundation of Peter's house. But after the resurrection of Christ, Peter was seldom home. He traveled widely for the sake of the gospel, taking his wife along, as 1 Corinthians 9:5 tells us. And according to others, at the end of Peter's life, Peter shouted a message of encouragement to his wife, and she was led away to execution. See, it's very important to know what happened in all of these lives here. He still, as his wife, has been led off to execution. He's still shouting messages of encouragement all the way to the end. How many times we'll turn our back, just like Judas. But when we go, we can't turn around. We got to keep going. But then him himself, of course, he died in Rome by being crucified upside down. Never denied his faith. He said, I don't want to go through that. You're going to be crucified anyway. Look around. You're trying to live this life. You're still being crucified. You're trying to do what you want to do. You're still being crucified. It's not helping you. But the only difference is here. You know where you're going. Your reward is going to be waiting for you. Hallelujah. You can live the worldly way and they crucify you, and then you just crucify to the end. But I know that he's always with me, regardless of what it may look like to us when we see something going on really bad or him being crucified upside down. You got to think that's the worst. No, the worst is being crucified upside down without Jesus Christ living inside of you. Being crucified upside down or watching your wife being taken off to execution and Jesus Christ not inside of you to give you his peace beyond understanding, to cover you with his love, to cover you with comfort. Was it still wearisome? I'm sure so. But it was nothing compared to what it would have been like without the comfort and the love of Jesus Christ, without knowing that this is only for a little while, but for eternity, we're going to live with our Father, knowing he's already went ahead and set the example for me. Died once, but resurrected, and will always live for eternity, knowing that's where I'm going to be too. Hallelujah. So again, he was crucified in Rome, where he died, upside down crucifixion. It's just for the looks. It's just to get you carried away. It's just to scare the ones that are watching. Don't worry, it was, God was still there. Let's talk a little bit about James. You know, James, the son of Zebedee, and he was also the brother of John. He became the first apostle to die a martyr's death. This is James. James was murdered in Jerusalem by King Herod Agrippa the first, and it was about a year A.D. 44. And the account of his death is preserved in Acts 12:1-2. Herod killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. John was the brother of James and the author of the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And he was apparently the only apostle who avoided a martyr's death. But that doesn't mean that he escaped persecution. After the fall of Jerusalem, his base of operations was centered in Ephesus. And at one point, he was exiled to a penal colony on the Plattman's Island, where he received the book of Revelation. He passed away in Ephesus at an advanced age. And visitors to the ruins of Ephesus today can still visit his purpose gravesite. Then we'll talk about Andrew. Andrew was an apostle who was always with witnessing. Every time we see him in the gospel, he was bringing someone to Christ. This is Andrew. You know, according to the word, as we read about Andrew, Andrew became a missionary. And he actually became a missionary in an area in the modern-day southern Russia, and that was around the Black Sea, according to Colossians 3. Some traditions say that he was crucified in A.D. 69. And it also, some have said that his crucifixion took place on an X-shaped cross, which is now called a St. Andrew's cross. It's like an X-shaped cross. And then you've heard people perhaps call it St. Andrew's cross. And they say that he languished 3 days before dying, that he actually just was hanging on. And I just choose to believe because my God is who he is. What it looks like to us doesn't mean that's what it was like to him. Could it have been painful? Yes. Could he have been just laying there just talking to his God? Yes. Could he have had the Psalms in his heart and he's just singing out because the body now is doing hanging there on his X-shaped cross, but the spirit is in communication with God, just singing praises to God? Yes. 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 And then we talk about Philip. Philip hailed from the town of Bethsaida. Yeah, but where he subsequently traveled and how he died is really not certain. But I'm here to tell you that recently, this was on July 27th, I'll check this out, of 2011, archaeologists in Turkey announced that they had unearthed a burial site, and that burial site, they're saying, was not far from Laodicea. And they're saying that that site was bearing ancient inscriptions indicating that it was Philip's tomb. This was discovered in 2011, that they think they found Philip's tomb. Again, we're not certain how Philip died. But this corresponds to early transitions about the ministry and his death. Again, we don't know how Philip died. Let's keep that up because some people are coming up with different things. But according to some traditions, he was stripped. He was pierced through the thigh or his ankles. And he again was hung upside down, perhaps on a cross. And he was stoned to death. That's what some of transitions say. Let's move on to Bartholomew, which is also likely known as Nathaniel. Bartholomew was from Cana, the scene of our Lord's first miracle, Cana. And except for excerpts from references in the fourth gospel, little is known of Bartholomew's life and or his ministry even. You know, different transitions have given him going various places and dying various deaths, but nothing can be determined with certainty. The best reference is from Ephesus, who gave us a tantalizing tale, really, about an Egyptian missionary who also, about the year of 180, went eastward to evangelize regions between modern-day Turkey and India. If you have a map, it's much easier to try to follow the road, and some of your Bibles will have these maps to carry you on these travels. Follow yourself now, if you have that, between what we consider as Turkey, right now, modern day, and India. They said perhaps even entering into Armenia. But anyway, they're saying that Bartholomew arrived at his destination. He found that the Gospel of Matthew had gotten there first. He delivered. And it was said years before Bartholomew that the Gospel of Matthew had gotten there first. But to this day, the Armenian church traces itself back to Bartholomew, even though that it has been thought that the Gospel of Matthew had been there years before. They still identify themselves back to Bartholomew, and they maintain a belief that he died by being flagged alive. You know, with Thomas, as we move into our closing, we talk about Thomas, and we may have sound of transitions, but William McBurney, in his book, The Search for the 12 Apostles, say that we may rather confidently reconstruct the actual missionary's journeys of Thomas. In fact, it says that we really know more about St. Thomas than we do about almost any other apostle, of course, with the exception of John and Peter. And as Peter and Paul were going westward in Europe, Thomas was apparently going eastward into India, which is modern-day Christians in India claim that Thomas as the one who first brought the gospel to their land. You know, Thomas was reportedly speared to death and buried near the city of Madra. Now, the mountainside where he spent his last days is now a national shrine to his memory. And it's overlooking perhaps approximately the international airport of Madrid right now, today, the burial of Thomas. Very interesting stuff. And it just reconfirms everything that was, it still is. It still is. We're still finding out all about these situations. You know, Matthew, the writer of the first gospel, carried a deep burden in his heart for Jewish evangelism. His geographical field of evangelism is really kind of uncertain, but many point to Northeast Africa between Egypt and Ethiopia. It's where they're saying that he picked his region that God had sent him into ministry to. Between Egypt and Ethiopia, where he especially focused his efforts on reaching the Jews. And it's also thought that he died somewhere in this region. And again, in a martyr fashion. And then James, the son of Alphaeus, perhaps also known as James the Less, because he is the apostle whom we know least about. Now, this is the other James. He's also the one which is a reason to like this man, because none of us, as we look at this, are really famous. Not all of us leave a traceable, visible legacy, yet we're still visible in the plan of God, just as he was. Yet we're still visible in the purpose of God, just as he was. Yet we're still known by God, just as he was. And we're loved by God, just as he was loved by him. And he was used of him as his disciple. So we can identify with him in a lot of ways. And like James, many of us are apostles of obscurity, whose work is recorded in heaven rather than on earth. Again, whose work is recorded in heaven rather than just here on earth. So we do a hint about his martyrdom. However, we know that he died by being stoned and clubbed. So it looks like we have three to catch up on, and we're going to have to do that on tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, God loves you more than anything or anyone. So God bless you. Until we meet again, we'll finish up. Be good and be of God. Amen. Good night.